Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. JT, along with Hall of Famer Leanne Whippin, coming to you from our Turn It, Don't Burn It studios, respectively across the country. We'd like to thank the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission and Painted Hills Natural Beef for supporting our shows here. Well, she's back. Chef Steph from I Can Cook That. We haven't seen her for a while. She was kind of gimpy, I'll put it that way. But she's healed up and she's rolling. Steph, how are you?
I'm literally healed up, yes.
So you're okay? You can walk and run and throw things at the husband and all that stuff?
I don't know about running, but the other stuff, yes.
Okay.
And more importantly, she can cook.
She can cook.
Yes. It's amazing when you are not mobile, what other parts of the business you try to work on.
That's right. That's right. Keep your butt in that chair and all of a sudden social media, you pay a little more attention to it and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know. So what have you been doing? We haven't had you on for a year or so. So I was checking that out. And what's been going on with Chef Steph?
Well, you know, I've been, like I said, not very mobile. I'm not in the kitchen as much. So I've really, I Can Cook That was, I think we talked about this the last time, the difference between cooking and baking, which is why I Can Bake That, because you know, I never measure anything. I'm just kind of like, oh, I wonder what this flavor profile will do. So I really started using this time to kind of hone in and make some recipes so I could create some digital downloads, digital cookbooks. I've been working on my getting my reels on Instagram into a little bit better of a place. So really just kind of back end stuff, trying to put things together so that all the people that are not as skilled in the kitchen have, you know, a more of a directional guide that they can start to follow. So I had to do something, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So what did you learn?
I learned a lot. I mean, if you look at my, I probably shouldn't even be saying this, but if you look at my Instagram page from a year or 2 years ago, it was really pretty bad because I had no idea how to edit. I didn't know how to do a lot of the things. And in comparison to what you see on Instagram, like how beautiful some of the content really is, mine was always just kind of dusty and dirty. So what I learned is diving into getting better at my content creation. I still have a way to go, but I feel like I've really learned more of the digital side of content as opposed to just cooking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would submit to you, and I think Leanne would probably agree with me, that I think you did it the right way versus we see a lot of people, and I'm sure all of our feeds and stuff are different for the most part, but you see a lot of people that really aren't that skilled, but they make great videos. You know, they've got the aspect of the editing and the sound and stuff down, but the content isn't that deep. I would rather see somebody that's really far into the cooking and not afraid to try new flavor profiles and things. And I'm very forgiving, you know, kind of growing up in this business a bit. If their editing skills aren't, you know, Academy Award winning like that.
Which is probably one of the reasons we've been friends for so long.
So what have you been working on, though? I mean, give us some particulars. Anything you've created that you went, wow, that is really good.
As far as like the digital products or as far as the actual like new flavors?
New flavors.
I'm trying to think. Not so much. I've been really playing around with sous vide and then smoking and then meal prep type things. So not so much on the new flavors as so much as honing in and perfecting that. Because what I learned not being mobile is that meal prep was really like one of my best friends now. A lot of people do it for diet or, whatever the reason is. But I was to a point where it was like, okay, I can get in for a couple hours and start knocking out some creative things. So I did like a sous vide duck breast that I smoked, and then I froze, and then I chilled it down. And so, when you think meal prep, you think of ideas that are maybe bland, right? Everybody's like, oh, I have bags of trail mix, and I have trays of celery sticks, and I maybe have some chicken that doesn't bore me. But I really started learning and creating new recipes for elevated meal prep so that if you do find yourself not being able to move around, you're not a prisoner of having to like be doing Grubhub and Uber Eats and all of the things, that you do when you're sedentary.
Yeah. Well, where I live, Grubhub comes on a camel, so it's okay. But that leads me to a question for you, Leanne. When you're creating something, what do you find over the years of doing it that it actually inspires you? Is it something that you're working on something you've done 100 times and you went, what if I did this? What if I added more cilantro or orange juice, or it doesn't matter. But how does that inspiration come to you? Is it just kind of an aha moment, or is it something you plan? Because you do a lot.
Yeah, it's aha moment. And it's not just about flavors, it's about techniques too. And I'll give you just a recent example of pasta. Okay. You have that pretty much ready to eat pasta that you can get at Sam's Club. And rather than just tossing it in, in boiling water and throwing a sauce on it, dipping it in egg and coating it with breadcrumbs and baking it and then turning it into an appetizer, things like that. So it's sometimes a combination of technique and flavors. There's a lot of spices out there. And I'm not just talking barbecue spices. I'm talking about just, like rosemary, garlic spices, cilantro, lime spices. And those combination of flavors inspire me sometimes. So that's a couple examples.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. All the stuff that I call it the weird stuff that I do, but all of the weird stuff I do is usually coming out of like, how do I create this into a hack, or how do I create this into a shortcut? Like, I'm a big fan when you talk about pasta. I am a huge fan of the cold water method, and also par cooking it in advance when I have a break in my day. And then literally, I don't have to save the starch water. So I realize if I par cook it, there's so much starch that still explodes that I can do shortcuts like that. So yeah, I love what you said.
I mean, you guys finish the show. I'm gonna go cook some pasta and dip it in eggs. So that makes me really hungry. Well, I just think that creative cooks, and whether you're at a grill or a smoker or in the kitchen or wherever, I think when they see something and it kind of strikes their fancy, if you will, I think those are the people that are on the road to being a great cook if they follow that. And sometimes they don't work. I've made dishes many times that I thought, well, man, this is really going to be good. And it kind of comes out like, yeah, you can eat it. It tastes okay, but it's nothing that really lights you up. And in the flavors, and say, yeah, I want to do that again. I want to serve that at my next party, you know?
I think that happens to everyone. I
Yeah.
can't tell you how many times I'm like, man, I thought this was going to be so good, and I'll dump it. And my husband just looks at me like I'm nuts, like, I gotta make it again. No, that wasn't good. I gotta do it again.
Yeah. My biggest tasting where I see the results is, my wife's kind of quiet. Leanne's met her. I mean, she's kind of a quiet person. And every once in a while, she'll look at me at dinner and she'll go, this is really good. And I think, okay, I got something there. And then other times I'll say, how's the food? It's okay. So when I get that, it's okay. It's like, no, that's going down the end of the counter there. It's not coming back. So Anyway, I just think that's, I think people that are serious about their cooking and wanting to expand their cooking vocabulary, I think they do get inspired by different things. So that's just me. Unless you're playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then there's nothing, nothing's going to inspire you right now. So.
No.
So Steph, are you a Rams or Chargers fan? Or maybe you're not a fan of football at all.
But. Oh, Lord. I play the fifth. I guess, you know, it's funny that you asked me that. Actually, I'm not a football fan. I'm sorry. I'm just, it's just not my thing. But I should, it's funny you said Rams or Chargers because I'm initially from St. Louis. Is that why you said that?
Well, yeah. So that would be, then you'd be a Rams fan.
I guess I am.
Yeah. Well, Leanne, she's a diehard kind of Bucks fan.
Yeah.
And her friend John is a Rams guy. And I'm
although
a
I am loving the Ravens. The Ravens are hot.
Ravens are hot. And I'm a Kansas City, even though I didn't grow up there or anything. Mm-hmm. I just like the Chiefs. So
Steph, even though you aren't a football fan, I feel like people come together, even if they don't like the sport, when it comes to the World Series, et cetera, and they have their parties. Do you have any recipes that you can think of that would be great for Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Actually, tailgating.
I came up with one. It was a while ago, and actually it was, I thought it was going to be like one of those things where people looked at me like I was crazy, but they actually liked it. I came up with, so for potato skins, doing a buffalo, like a hot wing buffalo chicken, the chicken was boneless, but buffalo chicken potato skin with like a drizzle of ranch on it. So that's kind of fun. And then there was, I think it was, for Pit Boss several years ago, I did football sliders. So I stuffed ground beef with cheese and then I made the little football, you know, stitching
laces, yeah,
out of hatch chilies. And then I smoked those and served that at a party. And I had like a whole, you know, football spread. It was pretty fun.
There you go. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. And I have got a question for the ages when we get back. You're listening to Barbecue Nation. Stay with us. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to the Nation. I appreciate everybody taking time to listen to our show and letting us into your world. I'm JT, along with Leanne Whippin. She's a Hall of Famer. I'm just a hall monitor. So we can do that. So the big question is, what is the deal with calling chicken nuggets boneless wings? That drives me nuts, you know? And so I want to get your take on that.
Is this because of that whole potato skin thing? I'm sorry.
No, not at all. You just made me think of it.
I mean, I guess it's just marketing, right? I mean, because there's no such thing as a boneless wing. There's no such thing as a lot of things that people say that there are. So I don't know. Maybe Leanne has a better answer to that one.
I feel like some of these boneless wings, they really do try to mimic a wing with the skin around it. It isn't just a boneless, you know, breast.
Yeah.
It's like they are trying to take the bones out of it, however they do it. I mean, come on, look at the McRib sandwich.
Oh, God.
Is it really rib meat? Maybe.
It's pressed meat.
Yeah.
I talked to the guy one time that up in North Carolina that made those, and they're pressed meat. University of North Carolina did that. And I've got a brother-in-law who lives for the McRibs when they come out every year or so. He's just like
you can really make a true McRib sandwich yourself that is quite good. You have to overcook the ribs, obviously, to pull the bones out, but it is obtainable. And, you know, why wouldn't it be good? You know, throw rib meat on a sandwich? Sure.
Would
there's a whole cult following for the McRib.
Oh, yeah. But Leanne, as a Hall of Famer in barbecue, would you do that to serve it to people?
I have never, ever attempted it, but it's not to say that I won't attempt it. Okay. I won't put sauce on it. It'll be a dry McRib.
Oh, there you go. A drinker.
I don't know. We're getting kind of off in the weeds here, but my point is I don't know. I can't. You know, McRib sandwich, I can honestly say I've never had one. I have never eaten one.
Oh, you should, just to experience the dark side. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to offend anyone, but it's not good. I mean, it's not like,
well, it's just,
there's nothing about it that says rib.
It's just a pork meat slathered in sauce. I think, because I think they actually put that meat in a press and make it look that way.
Well, the sauce isn't good either. It's very, I don't know.
Okay. Well, okay. So wings in my book have to have bones, and McRibs are McStuff. That's what they should call it. A McStuff right. sandwich like that. So Leanne, speaking of Super Bowl, we do have the Super Bowl coming up in a few weeks here. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite thing to put on a Super Bowl spread?
So what I do is I take the two teams that are in the Super Bowl and I do a dish that is indigenous or what they're known for, like buffalo. We do the wings, you know. So I try to incorporate the dishes from the two teams into the meal. So it's different every year.
What do you do for the Rams?
I don't know. It would probably be something Southwest, you know. I don't know, because they like, I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
And in an out burger, I don't know.
Yeah. We've got two new In-N-Outs coming in up here in Portland. So yeah. I'm really
Why
happy.
Not? You can mimic that.
Yeah. Steph, what about you? What's your go-to thing for party platters, if you will, for a Super Bowl party?
You know, it just depends really on also who I'm having over, because, you know, so many people nowadays are gluten-free, or they don't eat this, they don't eat that. Like, it really,
I don't have friends like that.
Neither do I.
Sorry, you're not invited.
That's actually really funny. But yeah, I do try and cater to my people. But yeah, if it was just going to be me, like, I love doing, pork butt. I love doing pork butt. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do. And I know it's pretty, you know, easy in the world of barbecue, like compared to like, you know, brisket or that type of thing. But I love a good pulled pork, and I love to repurpose it. So I'll do like a pulled pork, and I'll do like carnitas or whatever. And then I've been known to do like pulled pork crunch wraps and, you know, just like crazy things with all the leftovers. So I think that's one of my favorite things too. Everyone does ribs. Everyone does wings. I know a lot of people do the pork butt, but I don't know. There's just something.
It's a long cook. So most people appreciate it and they don't do it at home. So that's always a good go-to for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I love it.
And it kind of looks like a football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you can, if you know, you can pull all the stuff out and then reform it as a football.
Right.
You know, you can do that. Thinking. You know, now you could do that. Yeah, I think it's good. I think, of course, we have a lot of seafood up here. So I usually do one. Maybe it's a pork butt, maybe it's some tri-tips, maybe it's some ribs. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And then I try to do one seafood thing, you know, and you can do the straight shrimp cocktail with the big jumbos and make your own sauce or something like that. But I tend to, like you, I like to get a something in the form of a wrap, if you will, and make it with some shrimp and diced green onions and things like that. I try to get, so you got a kind of a really nice cross section of flavors, the shrimp and a little bit of cocktail sauce if they want it. And yet, it doesn't just look like you're eating, you know, number six at the Chinese menu at your local place there, mm-hmm. you know, that
also
type of
a big bowl of chili is always good to serve, you know, because it's cold in most places. And then mm-hmm. you can do a topping bar. And I like being interactive and having different toppings so people can kind of make it their own. It's fun.
I've True. Done that with baked potatoes, too. Yeah, I've done great. It with for Super Bowl parties. I'll remember at Christmas, I was telling you how you and me did how I make the twice bakers, cut them in half, cook them meat side down. And I'll pull those out and kind of score the meat side of the potato and open them up. And then they can do a topping bar with the potato, too. Mm-hmm. But yet yeah. it's not a whole great big baked potato so that they just fill up on that. And do that. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Chef Steph and Miss Whippin, and she's going to tell us about pink powder when we come back. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to The Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne, and Chef Steph is with us today. We thank you for inviting us into your eardrums, or if you watch the videos on this. Pig powder, you got some news?
I do. Pig powder, new labels coming out, kind of modernized them a little bit, but it still has the famous pig that my dad drew years ago, sprinkling himself. Almost looks like a shower of pig powder. But we have spicy pig powder coming out. So I will be ordering my palettes in the next month, and I'll make it available on the website on pigpowder.com. And I might even be doing a flash sale just to get it going a little bit quicker because I have a couple cases left. And so you can use BBQ Nation Save to get 10% off.
And I will say, I'm not even an affiliate for you. I wish I was, but that is one of my most favorite spices in my cabinet. And I have a lot of spices, and I will tell you, I love it. It is the absolute best.
So I will tell you that the Philadelphia Eagles, their stadium uses pig powder.
It's really it's so good.
Yes, they do. They order so good,
and I use it on. I've even used it on salmon. Like,
yeah, it's delicious on seafood. I used to use it on shrimp at the restaurants. It's great.
It's amazing.
Thank
One
you.
One of my favorites.
I didn't know the Eagles used it.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. Got to get Jason Kelce in, you know, to do something with you.
Yeah, I don't really go there, you know, with them on that note. You know, I just try to keep it strictly biz, but it's hard because sometimes I always, you know, when they send the order, I'm like, go Eagles. And I think, well, maybe two tickets, but no.
Well, I'm sure if you ask them, they would really.
I don't know. They are good, too.
Another Can you team. Sing?
Can I sing?
Yeah.
No, I cannot sing, dance. I can barbecue. That's about it.
Well, I thought if you could sing, maybe they'd let you come up and do the national anthem.
National anthem? No, that would not be good.
maybe one of their preseason games, intramural games. So
I don't know. It might go viral, though.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
That's good. So, Steph, what do you see out there in the barbecue world? It's been a while since, like I said, at the top of the show, since you've been on the show, actually, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's been a while since that. A lot of changes. We come through the COVID stuff and the overstocking of where the manufacturers got a little over their skis. They had a lot of grills and smokers and stuff in the warehouse. I think that's kind of leveling out now. But what are you seeing out there with the people you interact with and the companies you interact with as far as the state of the world of barbecue?
You know, I mean, for me, I actually got into barbecue during COVID. Like, I was always like, you know, the backyard barbecue girl, but I started really getting into smoking and learning about that during COVID. So for me, I almost feel like that was a time where barbecue was like picking up because people had all day to smoke pork butts.
Right.
You know, but what I will say is I had some very specific brands of grills and smokers that I worked on and worked with, and I've branched out to some new lines that I hadn't even heard of that I've been very impressed with. So I feel like there was, you know, there's always like Pit Boss and Traeger, you know, everybody knows, and Green Egg, and everybody knows that. But I mean, there were some brands, and maybe it's just that I don't know all the brands, but there were some brands that I got access to that I was very impressed with. So I'm kind of seeing a shift in some of the new guys or newer guys that don't have the reputation getting out there a little more.
Who were they?
Camp Chef is one that I've been messing around with, and I really like it. Have you used the Camp Chef before?
I have not, but I know Meathead has given it high marks.
Yes,
and,
he does. I talked to him briefly about it, but I love it. It's got a sidekick on the side, so you can switch it from, like, if you want to sear something, if you want to griddle something, you can, not only is the is it it's pellet, but it also has a built-in area so you can put wood chips in it. So I mean, it's a really interesting piece of barbecue technology.
Well, that's good though. That's good. Yeah. I'm probably due for some upgrades around here. So it's good to know. Might reach out to them. You never know.
I feel like some of these smokers and the marketing and everything and what they're coming out with is kind of like cars. You know, the cars come out with the latest technology and it's like, why didn't we see this 5 years ago? And they all have this new thing all in the same year. It's kind of like that way with smokers and technology. If, you know, if somebody comes out with something, you see it being, you know, in the other brands, they're going to integrate it, which is great because, I mean, obviously the first one that comes out with it is tested. So,
right, right.
Well, and that's exactly it, right? So like I had a smoker that had, you know, quote unquote wireless capabilities, but it was terrible. Like the signal always dropped. Like, you know, if I wasn't standing right next to the smoker, it didn't work on my app. And, you know, now that some of these companies have had time to really, you know, test it, get their MVP out, I feel like, you know, a lot of those problems aren't as bad as they used to be.
I agree.
I'm not one that uses the wireless technologies, Matt, because I'm very close. Leanne's been here and I'm very close to where all the cookers are. So I just kind of wander out there and check them frequently like that. Right. But I can see where the wireless technologies are important to people, and I understand why they do it. And I think that's a really good thing. Do you ever think that we could overdo the technologies to move us beyond the point of really smoking, grilling, barbecuing to where it's?
Yes, I definitely do, because the AI pitmasters are coming.
Well, I think it also depends on who you ask, right? I mean, there's some old school, like, no, you know, I mean, they won't even touch a pellet. You know, it's like, no, you know, if you're not rubbing two sticks together, you're not barbecuing, you know?
Right, 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 right.
There's definitely some truth to all different types of barbecue, I believe, anyway. But I think it just depends on who you ask. And I think it's also, like, dependent on the technology, right? Like launching something before it's really been tested is not, in my opinion, the smartest move.
No, no. Well, I can remember, well, it's been quite a while now, but because of where I live, I remember when Traeger came out. Okay. And prior to that, it was all either charcoal or stick burners. And that was it. You had gas grills. But of course, the sentiment then was, if you're cooking with gas, you're doing strictly for convenience and you're really not barbecuing. Okay. I disagree with that, but that's just my take on things. But now pellet grills are so common, not just in my neck of the woods, but all over the world, that, and they're easy and they're quick. You can do they're pretty versatile, for the most part. You know, sometimes I think we get off the reservation on worrying about being able to sear something at 1100 degrees centigrade, you know, so it's got to be on there 4 seconds or it evaporates. And maybe I'm showing my age here, and if I do, I don't care. But the point is, I just think that we get off of that instead of maybe rein that in just a skosh to keep moving forward. And it's about the food.
There's a tribe for everyone, right? I mean, like, that's what you're describing is that's me. That's I can cook that, right? I'm just the girl like that didn't have a culinary background that just wanted to throw something on the grill, and it got more interesting to me as the years went on. And so I started learning more. I started trying to get some of the science behind it. But I think pellet grills are really for people that, like, it's okay if you don't know how to properly stack your briquettes. Like, some people just want to plug in the machine and throw some good steaks on. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think, Leanne?
I agree 100%. I do, however, I'm an old school barbecue person, and, you know, I love pellets for convenience, but, I love that real authentic smoke flavor. A lot of people sometimes feel that it's too much smoke for their palate. So a pellet grill is perfect for them because it's light smoke. So
yeah, again, and I'm with you. I love that too. I love that. Like, everybody asks me, well, what do you use when you actually, it's mesquite. I love it. I like the heavy smoke.
No, I think that's true. And I think, I mean, I've got a very deep appreciation and affection for charcoal grilling, whether it's in, a Kamado style or a Weber kettle style or whatever you've got, open grates and all that stuff. I mean, I've done all that. We've all done all that. Time is really, I think, our most important asset anymore. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone can be a Leanne and a Jeff, you know? That's how I feel about the sous vide too. Like, honestly, I hope you don't like block me from ever coming back as a guest, but I can do a mean pair of ribs in a sous vide, and sear it, you know, on the smoker when it's done. But I mean, some of the most even precision cooked ribs that you can do in a sous vide. It doesn't have the smoke quality as if you put them on a smoker, but to your point, Jeff, it's like, people want convenience and they're sick of like having the same chicken dinner every single night.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take one more break, come back and wrap up the show with Chef Steph and my dear friend and co-host, Ms. Leanne Whippin. Right after this, stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to The Nation. I'm JT, along with Hall of Famer Leanne. Television star extraordinaire. Unfortunately, she's a Buccaneers fan, but that's Baker Mayfield tried. I'll just say that. And we've got Chef Steph from I Can Cook That. What are you doing? What are you coming out with this year, Steph?
I don't know. Actually, you know, I shouldn't say I don't know. I do know. I now that I am mobile again, I want to start to do and I can cook that digital course teaching people, you know, 101 type things. And you know, my market is more for the novice
Yeah.
person. But yeah, I think I want to start doing some digital courses, everything from how do you butcher your own chicken to save money to how do I smoke some ribs or whatever it is.
Sure. I think that's a good idea. I really
Well,
do.
everybody had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it has to hit home somewhere.
Yeah. What's the one thing that you found that when people interact with you and they watch your reels and they do all that and they'll send you a note or they'll make a comment, but what's the one thing that they seem to find that they really like about what you're doing? I'm not going to ask you what they don't like. I'm going to ask you what they do like.
Okay, we
So
don't have that much time. Yeah, no, I think that it's my weird spin on classic flavors and making it quick. So like I really like to you know, aside from like the 12-hour pork butter or that type of thing,
right.
some of my other meals, some of my other flavor profiles are really interesting spins on everyday classics, but also making them relatively quick and easy so you're not spending all day in the kitchen. And I think people really appreciate that because people are going back to work now that COVID's over.
Yeah, they are. Have you been affected by the fires? I know you're south of there, but
I mean, knock on wood, no, but it's just like you look at the footage up there and it's pretty much, you know, hell on earth up there. I know Andrew Grewal and a couple other chefs are doing a lot of great work up there. So I've reached out to them and let them know if they need anything. And you know, just a couple hour drive away. But knock on wood, I've been lucky down here.
yeah, the footage I've seen, it looks kind of like Hiroshima.
Oh, it's just awful.
It's pretty rough. I lived down there for a couple of years, and I remember all those places vividly. And of course, that was in college, and I've been back 100 times since. But you know, you're coming down I-5, and you go through Santa Clarita, and that, and then you kind of go over the hill, and it looks like there's nothing left there for a while.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
just. It's terrible. It's heartbreaking how many people have lost their homes. You know, I wish there was more I could do.
Well, I think we'll figure out how to help them. We always do.
Yeah.
Leanne, what have you got going? We even
I
though
am
we're partners in
going to be in Lakeland, Florida for the Florida State Barbecue Championship on Friday and Saturday. Let me see, I think that's the 24th and 25th, cooking up some pork butts, just like you were talking about, giving out nice samples with Pit Boss. So I'll be out there for the whole weekend.
Nice.
Oh, very
How far is
good.
that from where you are?
It's only about an hour and a half.
Oh.
I competed there a couple of years ago. I've judged there. It's a really nice event. They have stuff going on all day Saturday. You can bring the kids. They have face painting, and I'm sure the weather will be nice as usual.
Do
It
you
might
do
be a
the
little chilly, but yeah,
Hold on a
so.
second, Steph. Leanne thinks anything below 85 is chilly. Okay.
Yeah. She's a
Yeah.
smart lady.
Yeah, she
Yeah.
is. Yes, she is. But
But
she showed up here when we were filming the cooking segments for that show, and she has her
I was freezing.
cute little pedal pushers on and stuff like that, or capri pants, whatever you want to call them. And
Oh.
this, and it's sun's out, but it's only like 55 degrees, right?
Yeah.
And she's just standing there shaking
Yeah,
while
it was bad for me. It was bad.
we're.
I mean, and speaking of yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, you know, where you are in Florida that it's always so warm. Do you get from novice grillers, do you get a lot of questions about how the warm weather impacts the time of your smoke and that type of thing? Or do people pretty much have that figured out in Florida.
Never, never weather related. I get questions from all over the country. I just had one. Sorry to bother you, but what temperature should I bring my pork butt to? How long is it going to take to cook? And I'll ask them where they're from because I grew up in Jersey, and I know. It's funny. I had a bullet, and I had this green blanket, and I would wrap it when it got cold out, and I would call it the green monster when I would cook on it. But it definitely held the temp. It had burn marks on it all the time, but it definitely does affect your cook, as well as wind and rain and all that stuff, the elements. And that's the interesting part about barbecue. You get all kinds of things that can throw your cooks on or off. Even I lived out in Colorado, and the altitude affects it. The Frisco Barbecue State Championship, I remember that's when I was first learning about cooking with, the difference in altitudes. So it does make a big difference. And
But you don't get a lot of people asking you about it.
no, I do not. It's which is interesting.
That is interesting.
Up here, we get a lot of we get a lot of moisture, of course. Respectively, though, we're not the highest in the world as far as moisture. We get about 40 inches of rain a year, give or take. And there's other places in the country that get just that much, or rain and snow combined. But yeah, you learn about using the quilts, especially if it's very cold and dry. It can really affect the cook because most of the heat is going away trying to get warm itself. You know what I mean? And so, you do that up here, and a lot of people don't think about it, especially if they're working on a gas grill, but if they're working on a pellet or charcoal or something, they can
I
certainly
have my
affect.
smoker like in the perfect spot on my outside where I know the sun hits directly, so if I have to do a quick cook.
And you're out there in your sun suit and having a drink and watching the deal. Yeah, I could do that.
There's worse things.
There is worse things like that. So last question, Steph, where would you like to be with your I can cook that career, say 5 years from now?
I would love to just be established and for it to be my main thing, because right now it's still, a side growth that
Right.
I've been working on for, I don't even like the last 15 years. So I think, Jeff, we talked a little bit about me starting Spaces on X. So between that and hopefully some digital courses and some digital downloads, because I really do believe we are in a digital world now,
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I can reach more people and help more people.
Okay. And where can they find you now? What's your websites and your Instagram, what do you go by, and give all that out
Okay,
again.
great. Thank you. So my website, I just launched a special area. The store is not active yet, but it will be active next week. Some of my most popular requested recipes, the recipe that is an Andrew Gruhl's Calico Fish House restaurant. So some very VIP. It's called The Chef's Pantry, and you can get that on my website. It's www.icancookthat.com. And then at the top of the page, you see something called Chef's Pantry. So all of that VIP stuff will be in there. And then the usual players. You can find all my social on my website, Instagram, X. Gosh, Facebook, you name it, I'm on it.
Okay. All right. And Leanne, you're cranking out stuff all the time, I see.
Yeah, I got YouTube and then Instagram, Facebook, all the usual stuff. I'm trying to do more videos with pig powder involved because I really haven't focused on that. That's one of my goals this year. A lot of people buy it, but and they ask me, well, what else can I use it on? So I'm hoping to do some more of that video content this year.
Yeah.
What do you find that most people gravitate? What like what's their go-to with that pig powder? Is it just pork or sweet potatoes or seafood?
It's really multifaceted. I have a team. I have teams that use it, and they will send me what awards they've won with it. I have people that say, "Oh, I just tried it on scrambled eggs. It's delicious." You know, it's so user friendly. You know, on so many different things that I get a lot of thank yous. Thank you. I love
It's
this.
so
You know,
good. It's so good. I'm putting it in my curry tonight.
Oh,
So,
great.
oh, there you go.
Fantastic.
There you go. We got to get out of here. We're a little over time. So, Chef Steph, hopefully she'll stick around for a few minutes. This is going to be a very unorganized after hours, I will tell you. But Steph, thanks for joining us. Leanne, thank you, my dear, for always being up my side here.
Thanks for having me.
Marvin, thanks for watching out the studio today.
Marvin the cat.
Marvin the cat, he's my studio guard cat. And
Oh.
we'll be back next week at some point with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go out to have some fun, cook something, and remember our motto here: cook it, turn it, don't burn it. Not cook it, don't cook it. Turn it, don't burn it. Take care.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.